Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Man, I love praise and worship. You know, I was raised, you know, my family raised in the denominational churches. We had the choir up there. Before my lovely bride in high school, I was dating this Church of Christ girl. And she took me to Church of Christ, and they didn't have no fiddle. And man, they could sing, though. Sang four-part harmony. Soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. And they all knew how to sing, so that's what I love about that. And then we got tampered with after being raised Southern Baptist, and we kind of started hearing about some things that we had never heard about, like the Holy Ghost. And man, we started digging into the Word of God in some different areas, and so then we went to some contemporary churches and you know, had the band and all. I don't know about y'all being a cowboy church. I love this band and how they worship God. And it's an honor. You know, in heaven, there's going to be a lot of different praises and worships. I'm sure there'll be some cathedrals over there with massive choirs just singing to the Lord, man. But in one part of heaven somewhere, there's going to be some fiddles going on. Amen. It's got to be. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Well, if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, it's an honor to have you. Let me tell you just really briefly about Cowboy Church. It's really nothing different than any other churches, because we still preach the Word of God from the front to the back. We believe in all of it. But when the Cowboy Church movement started in the 70s, it was because they weren't being reached. A rancher and a farmer, kind of how I was raised on the ranch in Arizona. And then when we moved from Carlsbad, New Mexico, where most of my family's from, we moved to Texas in the 80s, and my dad was building some oil rigs. And we started ministering in Texas, and then started ranching during the ministry of our family in Sonora, Texas, and Fort Stockton and places like that. And we got introduced to a high school rodeo church service one day. And they asked my family to do the music. And we've always had a real musical family. And that was when we met Glenn and Ann Smith, who God used in the 70s to really birth the cowboy movement. And what it was is they just wasn't being reached. They had rodeos on the weekend and horse, you know, shows and cuttings and any kind of Western, you know, events were done on the weekends, and they wasn't reached. And so God told Glenn and Ann Smith, who lived in the Roswell, New Mexico area at the time, and then moved to Post, Texas, and then now in Midland is where Ann lives and Glenn is in heaven. I was their closest son, and I traveled with them a lot. And they were the ones that started the church services at the national finals in Oklahoma City, and then when it moved to Las Vegas. And that's why now I do a church service at the Mandalay Bay during the national finals. And it's a big event. But Cowboy Church was started to get in a rancher, a farmer, a country person, and even city people that had this mentality that they didn't fit in at church because they didn't wear a suit and tie. And that's how cowboys thought. I don't fit in there. And so you'll notice that there's all denominations here. Everybody. And we come together because that was really why God birthed the cowboy movement, even though you don't have to be a cowboy. Is all denominations come together, kind of like heaven's going to be, where the Baptists are going to live next to the Pentecostals. It's going to be wonderful. And so at Cowboy Church, we understand the call, and then you'll notice that people come from everywhere. And they drive from a lot of places to get here. Matter of fact, one of my friends here told me just before church that he passes 7 churches to get here from Marble Falls. So it's an honor to have you. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, hopefully when you came in you got a little visitor packet. And if you didn't, just make sure you get one right quick. But inside that visitor packet is a card and a pen. Please fill it out. It just tells us that you came. And we'll have one person from our church just call you, thank you for coming. They don't harass you. But it's a great opportunity to ask what we believe or how we got started or prayer request. If you need anything to be prayed about, man, we have an intercessory prayer team that is amazing. And they come at this church and they just pray for you, and they pray for me, and man, we all need it in these days. Amen. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you allow us to welcome you? All we want you to do, just right where you're at. If you've never been here before, would you raise your hand and let us, our church, welcome you in Jesus' name? Thank you for coming. You're like, man, I don't want to. Thanks for being here. Honored to have you. We also get excited about clapping for tithes and offerings. Come on, y'all. I grew up in churches where you said anything about finances, about money, and it would split the church. I never understood that. Because, as most of you know, I've said it many times here, when we started this church, it's been now 18 years. We started it with a camp meeting, and I just wanted to make sure that God was interested in starting to work here. And we had, I think, 60 people the first Friday night, and then Saturday we had about 80. Remember that, Morris? And it started this church. As we started it, the Lord told me not to take a salary at our church. And so I don't. I don't take a salary. You can give to me and my wife if you want to, but you don't have to. And the people that helped me start this church back then were like, how are you going to make it? I mean, wow, you're the only preacher I know of that don't take a salary at a church. And man, it's been wonderful. Because you know what's happened is I'm able to teach on finances and live what I teach. Amen? I have to be a giver. We have to trust God. We have to know that God is the provider. Your job is not your provider, y'all. Your business is not your provider. God is your provider through that business or through your job. Amen? And if we keep that understanding, then that's when then He can reign, which means He can promote and He can bring in more business. Even in the midst of a pandemic, when companies are going under, your company will not go under if you do it God's way. Amen. So I was looking at a scripture found in Proverbs chapter 11, and I took a picture on my phone of a different translation that I had in my office, and it's the Living Translation. And here's what verse 24 of Proverbs 11 and 25 says: "It is possible to give away and become richer." This is what the Bible says. Can you believe it? It says those words. Because I was raised where, you know, Jesus became poor, and we need to be like Jesus. And people stop reading when it says He became poor. No, you might want to keep reading, because it says Jesus became poor so that you can be rich. Now, what then we have to do when we're teaching about what the Bible, you know, teaches about seed time and harvest is, do not let money control you, because then the scripture, the love of money is the root of all evil, not finances. Come on, y'all work hours trying to get the stuff. So if we'll start doing it God's way, it'll be a lot easier, and then you won't have to be concerned about the church or a preacher trying to get your money. No. God's trying to get it to you, but He cannot get it to you unless He gets it through you. So look what this says in the Living Translation again. It says, It says, it's possible to give away and become richer. It's also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich by watering others. He waters himself. People curse the man who holds his grain for higher prices, but they bless the man who sells it to them in their time of need. In other words, someone like this doesn't allow money to control them. Man, they're able to just be led by the Spirit of God and be a giver. And that's what God wants you to do. That's why you tithe. Not because God needs money. I mean, when you give to a church, yes, we pay the bills. We do everything here debt-free. We don't owe anything on these buildings, y'all. And that's a wonderful thing, because I'm a pastor of a lot of pastors. Hundreds of other pastors. I pastor them a lot. And you know what they come to me about? Financial troubles in their church. Matter of fact, there's been some that's closed down during the pandemic. And they stopped meeting. And their church then is no longer. And so if we can ever understand about sowing and reaping, trusting God with everything we do in these days, watch the harvest come in your life. Amen. So when you give in these buckets, I want you to give with a different attitude of, instead of, here we go again, gotta give my hard-earned money. No, if you'll start honoring God with your finances, He'll start rolling it in so that you can get out of debt. How about that? How about getting out of debt? How about to do what the Bible says, owe no man but to love them? So, with some enthusiasm, come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen? You ready?
What a blessing to be here this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. I want to sing this song this morning. My Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Amen. He's everything you need today. He's everything you need. You'll start it over, brother. Amen. Are you past the point of weary? Are your burdens weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling from the shame and all that's healing? Are you desperate for some healing? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Y'all stand and praise the Lord. Well, He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Well, His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is, I know that He will do for you what He done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. so alive. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who could wipe away the tears, the broken dreams and wasted years? Tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong things that you could go and undo if you could. He would take it all for your good. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is, I know that he all will do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Y'all say hallelujah. 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 Amen. Take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about it? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Whoa, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Yeah, he loves you strong. Will do for you what he's done for me. Yes, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, amen.
Good. Thank you, girl.
Just like Hallelujah.
I could have give you a piggyback ride, but amen. All right. Hey, if you're a youth, you're all 12 to 18. Or you're 11 or under. This is the greatest time because our kids' church and our youth group is amazing. And so right now, if you're in that age group, man, I want you to know you are welcome to go to those groups and have fun doing it. And here's how we get rid of you. With that big round of applause, because you're going to have a blast. So kids' church and youth group, you're dismissed out the back end, man. If you're new, go on back there. You'll have a blast, I promise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's good. Our youth are helping the little ones. That's right. Come on, guys. You'll get to shoot guns out there. Just kidding. Just kidding. We've had some bad things happen with guns here lately. Movie sets. How many of you brought your Bible? I want you to hold your Bible up. And this is the time of the service where it gravitates me to the areas that I need to preach to. And I've got lots of Bibles. Thank you for bringing them. Appreciate you bringing your Bible. We've gotten used to in lots of our churches where they just stick it up on the screen. And that's a great thing. But I've never been that type to just bring it up on the screen, because what it does is it gives us an opportunity to not bring our word, because we know it's going to be there. And really what I want to teach is to take that word with you all the time. It needs to be with you. It's the sword. It's your protection. It's your manual. It's It's your ways of living. And if we truly understand and become Word people, not just that we pick it up on Sundays and then we don't really pick it up anymore through the week. What this then teaches us is if it's with us all the time, then no matter what's going on in life, here's the answer. The Word of God. Because see, it's the Word that is truth and makes us free. And if we don't get used to really going to the Word, then that's, I think, a lot of times why we tend to have issues in life, because we need to go to the Word first instead of the banker first. Now, I believe in bankers. We probably have a few at our church here. But it's kind of like going to a doctor. If they become your final report, then you're going to live by what a doctor says. And thank God the day that they tried to diagnose me with Crohn's disease, I decided to not receive that report. And I decided to believe the truth more than the fact. And the fact was that they diagnosed me with that disease 20 plus years ago and said that I would have to take medicine for the rest of my life. I'd have to stop riding horses. And I mean, I'd have to change my life totally. And that very day is when I said and declared out of my mouth, I do not receive that in Jesus' name. And that was the very day that I was healed by the power of God. Why? Well, because I decided to believe, you know, 2 Peter. I decided to believe Mark chapter 16. I decided to believe the Word of God that says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And what happened then is, since I believed this Bible more than the fact, then the truth overrode the fact and I was healed. I've never taken a pill. I've never even had the symptoms in 20 years. And the doctor was a very educated man. But me being a very educated 3-year junior college student, I decided that I was going to believe the truth no matter what. So it's not that we don't believe in doctors. Both of my nieces the last one just graduated from med school. I believe in doctors, but not the final report. And now if they're led by the Spirit of God, praise God, that's even better, because then they'll say, hey, here's what I would do, but you need to trust God first, you know. And so that's kind of what we're going to continue on, and I'm going to try to end this 3 weeks of helping us become barrier breakers. That was the title of this message, being a person that knocks down walls. Because in these days that I believe are the last days, matter of fact, I go even deeper. I believe that we're in the last of the last days. I mean, prophetically, man, all you got to do is kind of dig into the Word of God and you'll see prophetically, you know, the things that Isaiah said back when, prophetically, in a prophecy way, are coming to pass right now. You're seeing it. I'd have never thought we would live in a country that is going away from how we were founded under the principles of God. You know, no one even knows that the majority of signers of the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, were ministers. God used ministers to create the Constitution that you and I live by. A free people, praise God. And we're seeing it more and more. I'm praying for that pastor in Canada that's been jailed just for having church because of a virus. Yo mama, why in the world would we stop having church because of the fear of a virus? Why don't we just read the Bible that says in Psalms 91 that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow? Come on, y'all. Almost tripped over tissue. Why don't we get under the protection of God Almighty? Why don't we declare what it says on down, that no disease or sickness or any plague shall come near you and I? So me, I want to preach that. And I'm going to keep confessing it. And so is Rusty, and so is Ricky, and so is Howdy. When they preach at, when I'm gone, they're preaching the resurrection of Jesus. They're preaching the power, the dunamis power, praise God, of the Spirit of God. You and I have that power, okay? So what happens in these services is your faith then grows, and you stop living by what the media says, and the fear of a vaccine, or the fear of this pandemic, this virus, and you start trusting God even more. And when you do that, man, I'm telling you, that's when you have victory in your life. Now, my phone's been blowing up, ringing. I dealt with it just the other night from people in New Mexico, of people that are losing their jobs because they want the freedom to know and decide what's going into their body. You know. And so, I can't tell you how many religious exemption forms I've sent to people. And it's sad. It's sad the way our country's going. So, I think that's why we need to tap in to the wall, the barriers that are trying to stop you and I as free, godly people to not be led by the Spirit, but to be led by a government that's trying to control. Okay. And so, once we get into the Word of God and we tap into it, oh man, it just gives you boldness to get your chest out and your shoulders back and live in a world of standing on the Word of God no matter what. Now, I've said it many times, I'm not against the vaccine. If you've got peace about taking it, praise God, I'm fine with that. But if you have peace to not do it, I'm fine with that as well. The key is we've got to have the freedom to choose what goes into this temple of the Holy Ghost. I mean, this is the temple of God that we're talking about. And so it's just better for me to... by the way, what does the vaccine do? It builds up your immune system to try to ward off some bad things that are out there that the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to destroy our lives. And we just got to stand against that. And so when we stand against it on the Word of God, people that's already had COVID, and there's probably a whole bunch of people in here, you know that your immune system with those antibodies are a lot better than the vaccine going in your body. How about natural immunity? How about just having a natural immunity? Now, a lot of times we've got lots of bad issues health-wise going on in our lives, and, you know, we need some help. So, but here's the help, the Word of God. Amen? So, let's dig into it, and let's just keep learning on how to live in these last days to be a barrier breaker. And when I say that, a cowboy, a rodeo cowboy, automatically goes to what my son did yesterday in Grosbeck, 2.5 hours away at 12 last night when I was there. Add that up, 12 o'clock midnight, 2.5 hours away. Okay, so anyway. So that means I got home late. Early, fine. It's late and early. My body felt late, and then we realized it was really early. And he breaks the barrier in the team roping. And, you know, he's just trying. The barrier is a line in front of the box. Your horse is behind it. They put a neck rope on the calf or the steer or whatever you're roping, and it has to have a head start. If you beat that animal out before it breaks the barrier, it's a 10-second penalty. In some team roping events, it's 5 seconds, but rodeo, it's always been a 10-second penalty. That is not what I'm talking about, being a barrier breaker here. Because I'm talking about a barrier that is holding you back from accomplishing a dream, a goal, a vision, or whatever God has commissioned you to do and be. And those barriers have to be broken. I preached on the spirit of fear for a year and a half, right? When they first told us that people were dying of this coronavirus, what did we do? Well, a lot of people, even in the church, got into that spirit of fear. We didn't know what was going on. People were dying. It's a dangerous thing, y'all. Okay? But if you get into fear, that's the opposite of faith. And we've got to get into faith and not into fear, because if we're fear-based, then a lot of things bad happens to us. But if we stay in faith, praise God, all things are possible to him that believes. And so we believe on the Word of God in order to be those barrier breakers. So I preached on fear and against it, that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, soundness of mind. And we preached on that for what, a year and a half, until here recently, actually. And we had a drive-in service. Then we went to the rodeo arena and we spread out, and they brought lawn chairs, and man, people were coming from everywhere because they heard. We'd have our three-piece band, you know, me playing the guitar and Dad, Daryl, and Ricky, and we'd sit up on a trailer, and they would just come, because a lot of churches and pastors were in fear, and they shut down their churches, and there's still lots of them virtual still to this day. So thank God that then you and I can get our faith built up here Sunday morning about knocking down some of these walls that are holding us back. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's financial. I don't know what it might be this morning, but I'm here to tell you the answer is in the Word of God. The answer is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And His name is Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. Okay, so think about that just for a minute when we're talking about breaking barriers or walls that are trying to stop us in areas. It might be addictions that just, man, I can't get through it. I'll quit it for a little bit and then I'll go right back to it. You know, and it don't matter if it's a big, big drug addiction or just something, you know, that is just, man, we just keep going back to, you know, some type of temptation or whatever. When we truly get into that true faith word, then it begins to break every single barrier that continues to hold us back. But the key is we got to speak the Word of God. We've got to continue to let it come out of our mouth that we're winners and not losers. We're believers and not doubters. We can do all things through Christ. And all those things then, once they come out of our mouth, we start hearing them. And once you hear them enough, you'll start believing it. It's kind of like they said that there's power in what comes out of your mouth. And if you tell a lie long enough, you start believing the thing. Well, why don't we start telling the truth? And keep speaking the truth no matter what we see, hear, feel, taste, or touch. We are not moved by our five physical senses. We're only moved as a believer in Jesus by the Word. Say amen to that. By the Word of God. And the only thing that's going to get us out of any kind of jam in our lives, whatever the wall might be, is going to be through the Word of God being a barrier breaker. So there's some characteristics of just this, being barrier breakers. And we talked about the limits that we put on ourselves. We talked about the limits that other people try to put on us. We've talked about, you know, breaking those kind of things in our lives. And then we started then talking about the characteristics of someone that does speak the Word of God and they break down any kind of barrier. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you. You are that person. Now, don't let the devil tell you that you're nothing in Christ, that you're just an old sinner saved by grace, because that's how I was raised. You know, we're not worthy of anything. And then I found out that you and I are worthy if Jesus is the Lord of our life and we become worthy. So, let's talk about a few of these things that are going to help us in these last days when the world is trying to convince us that if we don't go by their ways, the world's ways of doing things, then we're not going to make it. And so let's stay hooked in God's way. Say amen to that. So we talked also about having integrity, because that was the first characteristic of someone that breaks down barriers or walls in their life, is just having integrity. You know, being a man or a woman of your word. Then we talked about the second one, about, you know, just understanding what comes out of your mouth. Being positive, in other words. Let no corrupt, in Ephesians chapter 4. Communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which would edify the listener. In other words, we don't want to hear a bunch of fear, doubt, and unbelief in our ears. We want to hear faith. I want someone, when I'm roping, I'm out there competing against the best in the world. And I know a lot of y'all was praying for me and to make the top 15 in the world, and I ended up 19th. But I still figure, you know, I can either get down because I didn't make the top 15. I missed the top 15 in the world by $5,000. So I still call that an accomplishment, praise God, because I'm the 19th best steer roper in all the country. And I accomplished at least some goals in my life. I won several rodeos, won a few belt buckles, and praise God, but it wasn't what I wanted. I could get down, I can get upset, I can start wondering if being 52 years old, if I still got it. I do. I still got it. At least that's my confession. You see. Because it's negative and not positive if you say the opposite. Well, I just can't do it. I guess I just wasn't made to do it. I just can't. It's just my luck. And all those curses that come out of our mouth. And the Bible says, don't let any of those things proceed out of your mouth. Anything that proceeds out of this mouth should be uplifting, edification, and positive. Because see, that's a characteristic of a barrier breaker. And then the third one, I believe, is where we're going to kind of start today. I don't know if I really dug into it, but here it is. Maintaining priorities. Because having some priorities is simple as making a bed. I told Seth, my boy, I said, okay, here's the rule. If you don't make your bed in the morning, you're going to lose your phone. Do you realize when you say those kind of things, there's a bed made, brother. I mean, I've done it when we've roped and the boys are bulldogging. And I said, okay, if you put your bridle and your tie down on your horse and you leave the halter just laying, you're going to owe me 20 push-ups. Because if it's tied, the halter that goes on the horse's head to hold them there, if it's tied and then just dropped to the ground, if they step on it and step through the halter, it could cause major injuries. So we hang the thing up. So what it is just teaching them there's a penalty for doing things that you shouldn't do. But in order to be a barrier breaker, we're starting to understand that just having and maintaining some priorities is key, a key characteristic of being a barrier breaker. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to show you just a few things that I think will just help all of us in these areas of knocking down some stinking walls that are trying to keep us down. And your faith, I believe, today and going on in this life is going to just continue to increase, so that when a barrier tries to come up in your life, you're going to immediately not allow it to stay. You're going to knock it down because of some of these characteristics that we need to be. Ephesians chapter 4, and then look at verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In other words, it's trying to tell us that you should have the mind of Christ. Don't have the mind of how the world operates, because if you're in the stock market, it goes up and down. But when you have the mind of Christ and led by the Spirit of God, because you're sons and daughters of the Most High God, then you, when you're led by His Spirit, man, just great things begin to happen. I mean, He'll steer you around the barricade. You won't be stopped by it. It's kind of like when I was driving down the road years ago, and I had my wife and a brand new baby, which was London at the time, a horse trailer full of horses that are very expensive, but mainly my family was in, and it was about 6:30. I was coming back from Albuquerque, New Mexico, going back to Level Land, where we had started the church at the barn in Lubbock. And I mean, God was doing some amazing things in that area. Over 1,700 people got saved in the first year or two of that church. It was amazing. Matter of fact, so many of the wild hombres got saved. I mean, wild people, that the FBI put us on a terrorist list. Or they thought we was a cult. I mean, how did that guy get saved? And then they snuck someone in there and found out that we just preached the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm driving down this road, and the Spirit of the Lord says, plead the blood. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. So I did. I said, Jesus, Jesus. I just plead the blood of Jesus. And I come right over a hill. Remember that, James? Came right over the hill, and an 18-wheeler was trying to turn around on a highway, the Level Land Highway, just trying to turn around right in the middle of the road. And you know, when you have a four-horse at that time, it wasn't a bloomer trailer, but it was a long four-star trailer. It's hard to get them stopped. And when the horse's weight shifts to the front because you slam on the brake, it pushes you forward even faster. Had I not pled the blood of Jesus, there's no telling what might have happened. Could have killed all my family. This church wouldn't be here because I'd be in heaven. Thank God I'm alive. Thank God we speak life and not death. And so Ephesians here is saying, the vanity of our mind, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then it goes in and begins to teach about some great things. So there's something about priorities. How about a priority of just spending some time with the Lord? Just, you know, getting up maybe and having a priority to just talk to the Lord. And it doesn't have to be a bunch of wants, a bunch of needs. Did you realize that the Bible says that God will give us our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? We don't even have to pray for needs. He said, I'll already give them to you. You'll have needs. And I'd realize we want some wants, but praise God, we don't have to live by our needs. No, God just declares that He'll give you your needs. And He'll do it in an awesome way. So that's a priority to me, maintaining priorities. Here's the fourth characteristic of a barrier breaker, is simply having courage. Man, we need that in today's world, y'all. We need some courage, man. Courage to stand up when we're trying to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. When all the country is trying to come against Christians. It's amazing how the country is coming against Christians who walk and teach in love. We're supposed to anyway. There may be some bad apples that, you know, try to put condemnation and guilt on people, but that's not who a true believer is. A true believer operates in the spirit of love, praise God. And I'm not talking about Eros love, human love. I'm talking about agape. Agape, the God kind of love. A love that never fails, never's puffed up, you know, all those things. We need to be operating in that kind of love. Because if not, then that's when people start having an attitude that we're holier than thou and a goody two-shoe, etc. No, we walk in love. But yet our country then promotes all other kinds of religions that do not walk in and operate in love. Matter of fact, there are some that operate in fear, because if you don't believe in what they believe in, then they call you an infidel. and they'll kill you. The radical part of it anyway. But it's not the same kind of love that you and I have, that God said, I sent my only begotten Son, because whosoever believes on Him would not perish. But He did it out of the love for you and I. You know what else He did? When Jesus died, He did not have to die, y'all. He could have said, enough's enough, it's too much pain, those people aren't worth it. But you know what Jesus said instead? He said, no, Father, it's not my will be done, but Thy will be done. I freely give my life for the love of the people, but here's the most important thing, for the love of His Father. Having courage, real fast over in I believe it's in Joshua. If you want to turn there just real fast, find Joshua. And I just want to read a few scriptures. Joshua, let's go to chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Joshua. And let's look at just a couple of things, because in these days, it's going to take some courage, praise God. Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant's dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto a land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, I said unto Moses. I want y'all to remember something. The reason we have this place, I had a friend come and preach here named Jesse Duplantis. And when he came, I stopped. I went and picked him up from the airport, and we stopped right here. There was nothing on this land but 78 acres and a few cows. And me and Jesse, I said, hey, I want you to pray over this land. I believe we're supposed to have it. We were meeting at the Smiling V Ranch right around maybe a mile away. But we didn't own it. It was owned by some great friends, Alan and Denise Vincic. Well, they wanted to sell it. Have since sold it to the Boy Scouts, I believe, and they own it, and so on. So when me and Jesse Duplantis stopped, he stuck his foot through the fence. And when he did, being an awesome man of God, thousands of people get born again in his ministry. When he set his foot on the land, he goes, ooh, this is yours. I mean, he just knew. And sure enough, it wasn't very long before we were able to get this land. And so look what verse 3 says. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, verse 4, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Glory. See, he's trying to speak something into his life. I'm going to give it to you, he said. Verse 5. There shall not be any man to be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. Here we are. Nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whatsoever or wheresoever thou goest. The book of this law shall not but depart out of the mouth. You know why it says that? And then it talks about meditating. It says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It's because once God says something, then we need to stand on it. We need to get it on the inside of us and let it just roll around. When it says by the stripes of Jesus, the only way to get healed of whatever you need your body healed of is for you to get it out of your mouth and start speaking and confessing that I am healed. Thank you, Father. I'm healed by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Not, Father, please do it. Please do it. No, 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 no. You need to thank God that He's already done it. And all you're waiting on is for the manifestation of the healing, you see. And once you get to that place, that's when manifestation comes. But it won't come until you start to speak it, meditate on that word. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, sir, you said you'll condemn it. I don't have to fight the battles of this life. You said you'll fight it for me. All I've got to do is live by faith. I've got to start speaking things that be not as though they were. I've got to start living by the true word of God as the truth and not all the facts and all the things that I see happening out there in the world. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed by the power of God. Thank you, Lord, of what Jesus did by dying on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that I am the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord, that everything that's trying to defeat me is underneath me and not above me. And I'm telling you, when you start speaking the true word of God, watch what happens. People will start coming to you because they see victory in your life. They're not wanting to hang around anybody that continues to live in defeat, that continues to speak all the vile el crapo that comes out of their mouth. No, they want to try to get away from you. And there's a time when you got to kick the devil's rear. Anyway, that kind of fit. I'm just tired of running over tissue. In the name of Jesus, tissue will not control me. You know. Well, when you get faith, that's what happens. You just start speaking the word of God no matter what. Now, tissue don't have control over you, y'all. Well, I guess it doesn't. Okay, let me start wrapping this up. Man, this is so good, y'all. Because what we're doing is we're getting built up to knock down some barriers. You know why people aren't blessed sometimes? Because the river's there. The river of blessing is constantly flowing. But the reason that we aren't being blessed in areas of our life is because we're standing up here on the bank. And it's time you get into the river. It's time you start swimming. Yeah, but I don't know how to swim. Yeah, but with the Spirit of God, you'll know how to swim just because of the anointing of Jesus on you, just like Jesus made it not known how to ride a donkey, but he rode the thing because he was anointed to do the thing. And that donkey, even if he didn't take any horseback riding lessons, that donkey submitted to the power of God because he was Jesus. Well, that's who you are. You've got Jesus living on the inside of you if he's the Lord of your life. If you've been born again, then Jesus is your everything. That's who you're led by, you see. And that's what this word is. Praise God. So, it's time that we get courageous. Observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. This is verse 7. Jump all the way down to, let's finish verse 8, because this is pretty cool. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that thou may observe and do according to all that's written therein. That's the word. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous in the Amplified. I like how it says, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Anyway, glory be to God. A fifth characteristic is just being committed and dedicated. There's a great story in 1 Samuel about King David, right? I mean, he was committed. He was courageous. He was dedicated because he is a small little kid. When God told him, hey, you go whoop that giant. Did you know that big Goliath giant was 10 foot tall? Man, that's big. And here's a little old runt. And God used him. Why? Because he was committed and dedicated to God. The sixth thing is there's sometimes we're a bit unorthodox. Sometimes we do things because God said to do it. You know, there was some people that knocked down a wall because God said to go around it praying for a few days. And I'm sure that first day that they walked around that wall, before it came down, they felt stupid. But it was what God told them to do. So there might be some times when it's a bit unorthodox. The seventh thing is being goal-oriented. That's pretty obvious, man, just having some goals, you know. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about just goal-oriented. Those kind of people are the ones that knock down barriers. And then the last thing is these people want to help people. I'm going to read one last scripture. And I want you to turn there if you want to. It's found in Romans. Romans. And go to chapter 12 real fast. And I'm going to wait for everybody to get there because this is what we'll close on right here. Romans chapter 12. Because the last characteristic of a barrier breaker, someone that knocks down walls, is these people want to help others go. I mean, these people want to help someone else. You know, I've always said it like this. Don't come to church to become a fat sheep. You want me to explain? Don't come here just to receive and get fat sheep-wise. Because growing up around sheep and goats in Fort Stockton and Sonora at the ranch, Iran, Texas, is a fat sheep. An actual sheep, when they're fat and too fat, they get hung in the mesquite tree and they can't get out because they just don't have no strength. So when we get spiritually fat, all we're doing is receiving, receiving, and receiving and never giving it out. When you get revelation of the Word of God, why don't you start giving it to somebody? Hey, by the way, you're a winner. You're not a loser. I mean, you just start speaking the word to someone. Because a barrier breaker is someone that wants to help people see the promised land. They want to see victory in their lives. They don't want them to hurt. You know, you get scared over a family member that just will not receive Jesus because they may be atheist, agnostic, or whatever. But the more you sow into their life seeds of faith, hey, I just want to tell you, God loves you. And they start actually thinking and understanding that it takes more faith to believe in a Big Bang theory, or it takes way more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in a God that created the heavens and the earth. Seed planted, brother. When that seed's planted, it's going to grow sometime. They're going to start thinking about it because it came in their ear gate. And they're going to start thinking about, ooh, what if that is true? A lot of times it happens on the deathbed. What if it is true? I really don't want to spend eternity in hell. And before you know it, because of the seed that you planted, because you wouldn't allow fear to keep your mouth shut, and you started speaking about the Word of God, that's a barrier breaker. That's someone that, man, I want to help people. You know how many people I mentor? I mean, I can't tell you how many people have lived at our house over the years. I mean, I can count them. And all our job was to just... And people are like, why would you let someone stay in your house? Well, we live what we preach. And they just do. And I'm not saying I'm going to take anybody in today. But I want to help people. That's my heart. That's got to be our heart, y'all. All of us. We need to help people get victory in life because there's lots of agony and defeat out in that world. And you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are barrier breakers because of the one that lives on the inside of us, the one that, again, has the name above every name. Cancer, Jesus has a name above it. Debt, Jesus has a name above it. Marriage issues, Jesus has a name above it. Whatever it might be, addictions of any kind, Jesus has the name above it. And it's time you and I start tapping in to the name that's above all names. It's time that we start declaring the things of the Word. Even if the devil tries to tell us we're not worthy or we did bad things in our past. Why don't you tell the devil to line up with the Word of God and get back under your feet? He's supposed to be crawling around like a snake anyway. You're supposed to be way above Him. You were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. And the angels were not. Especially a fallen angel like Satan. Why in the world would we be more afraid of him than he's afraid of us? It's because we don't know who we are in Christ. But by golly, you and I are barrier breakers. You and I got to get our faith up and stop living by our past and by what the devil says about us, like things being no good or whatever. No. Because of the one that lives on the inside of me, I'm not remembering the past. I'm pressing forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Oh, it makes that devil mad. It makes him so mad when you break through a barrier because he can't get you into anger anymore. I mean, nothing makes you mad. I'm trying to teach Seth that, my boy, 15-year-old. You know how that is. He's an awesome, awesome man of God now. But there's lots of temptations being that age to get mad when he breaks the barrier or he does something wrong. And I'm trying to teach him, if you learn how to control now, I'm not saying you don't have that fire on the inside to want to do better and be better and practice harder. But if you lose it and get into anger and into, you know, getting so mad that you throw a fit, that's how the devil wins in our lives. Amen. So, you and I are barrier breakers in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, I am a barrier breaker. Walls that the devil brings in my way, I knock them down in Jesus' name. Nothing will stand in my way because I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. I am a believer. I am not a doubter. I can. I will do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Nothing will hold me back. Not another day in my life, because I'm a winner. In Jesus' name. Now give God some praise. Come on. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you. Oh, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, sir. Oh, glory. Kambra sindiria. Kandoro sondori. Ikimbra kandordo. Shikero simbre ki kandordo. Listen to me. Rasindilio ombro cumbre. Shingambra kandordo. Oh, Jesus. The Spirit of God wants to tell all of us right now to not give up, to press forward and remain in the counsel of Him. It's time that we stand up. Let me get this right. Thank you, Spirit of God. It's time that we stand up and proclaim the majesty, the good things of the Lord. This is not a time, says the Lord, that we go back to the days of before. This is a time that we continue to go forward to see the great things that I've done for you. Don't you weaken. Don't you weaken. I hear this three times. Don't you weaken, says the Lord. Glory. I said, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. Oh, you're so good. You're so good, sir. And we're victorious in you. So, Father, we crucify this flesh. And we thank you, Lord, that there's power in you. Look at me, y'all. Look at me. Did you know that tongues... I wasn't raised that way, by the way. They was always taught us that tongues was of the devil. I never understood that because I walked away from the Lord for 2 years in college and I never spoke in tongues. I mean, why? So I figured it out. If it's a language that no man understands but God, that means the devil can't come against it. And we all know that. So that means that the devil would try to come against and confuse and do that to the body so that they wouldn't have victory. But in Bible study, you start learning about the Holy Ghost. You start learning about that tongues business and the day of Pentecost, all in the Bible. It's amazing. And we just kind of skipped over a lot of it. And tongues is for the unbeliever, by the way. You realize that, right? Because it's time that we start seeing power in the Spirit of God. Not goofiness, not a bunch of gimmicks, but the power of God, because we need it in these days, in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's time you do it. There's no reason to not know where you would go if you leave this earth and you die. Because there's only two places. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. I'm trying as fast as I can to get people to choose heaven and not hell. But, as y'all know, we have a will. There's not a preacher in the country that can make you give your life to Him. I know they can beat us up over the head with the Bible or whatever, but no one can make you choose life or death but you. So Deuteronomy says, I said it before you, life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. And the blessings of thou and your seed, your kids and their kids and their kids, will prosper. What would happen to you if you died and left this earth? Well, I want you to think about it, not out of fear, but because I want you to go to a place called heaven. I want your kids to go to heaven. But you have to think about it, because John 14, Jesus Himself says this, I'm the way, truth, and life. No one comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus. Not a church, not some preacher. Only through Jesus. Is He the Lord of your life today? If you died, would you go to heaven or not? If you don't know, it's time you find out and give your life to Jesus. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And all of us believers are going to pray this prayer with anyone in here or watching us that has never given their lives to Jesus. And we're going to confess it out loud. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to confess this prayer. I can't make you. I'm going to ask you to give your life to the Lord Jesus that God sent to save you. So we're all going to pray it, even believers. We're going to pray it with you, and we're going to do it out of our mouth again. Ready? If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, please do that right now. Confess this prayer. Ready? Believers, pray it with me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that simple prayer for the very first time, you didn't know what would happen to you if you died, you just prayed the prayer that will cause you to bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth and die. Because really, you're not dying. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. If you just prayed that prayer, you get to spend it in heaven when we leave this earth. If that was you, with no one looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But I want you to be bold. Don't be ashamed of giving your life to the King, Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer in a minute for the very first time, when I count to three, I just want you to raise your hand up and say, that was me, God. And then just put it right back down. You're confessing it before a man. Jesus says, I'll confess it. I'll confess you before the Father. So don't be ashamed. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, get that hand up. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody? Right, look at me, y'all. Very seldom at this church is no one saved. But no one was. That means all of you. Praise God for that. Thank God we all know. I know people that get saved over and over. You know, just that fire insurance. I just want to make for sure, Lord. No, don't do that. If you're born again, you're born again. And you got to have faith and confidence in that. Thank y'all so much. I love y'all. It's an honor to be able to pastor this great church. I know it's growing. I know some of our people are out at rodeos and different things, sports. Oh, wow. But you know what? When we all come together, there's unity. And love you very much. If you need any prayer, I'm here. We got a big team that will pray for you for anything. Amen. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Just as you're standing, don't forget on the 31st, everybody's going to be doing Halloween stuff. You know what we do here? Hallelujah night. We don't celebrate Halloween, but we don't stop kids from having a blast. It's a very, very dangerous holiday. This one day that has been deemed the devil's holiday with goblins and, you know, it's, what do you do on Halloween most of the time? Haunted houses and there's fear. Well, we want to tell you that really we ought to be saying hallelujah and kids ought to be safe and have fun. So lots of people come here. We have a hayride. It's going to be a blast. So the 31st from 5:30 to 8, all of those kiddos are going to come here. We need help. We need candy. Because we want to bless them with some candy, and then moms and dads can tend to teeth later. Amen. But what we teach, though, is that we don't want to stop a kid having a blast, but we want to teach them that we're going to celebrate a harvest and not a bunch of other junk. Amen. So they can still dress up and have fun and play some games, etc. So that's on October 31st. So our church, if you don't mind, start bringing some candy next week, and then just be a blessing to be able to give it to those kiddos. And then on Christmas, they always have the Liberty Hill Parade, Christmas Parade. That big festival is a very big thing. Matter of fact, our church has helped run the thing a lot in years past. Now it's been taken over by the city. So when it gets taken over by a city, we still need the influence of Jesus to be in our celebration of the birth of Jesus. And so we need a float. And I think we kind of have someone in charge of the float, but not really. If someone really wants to help us in that area, I kind of told someone that they were going to be in charge of it, so it's kind of forced. But if you want to help and be a part of helping with the Christmas float on a trailer, I have the trailer. Then would you see Heidi? She's in the back, and just let her know. Also, there's one need. Everybody asks me, "What can I do here? I want to serve somehow." Well, we have a need, and that's for someone to run that camera. You can learn if you just want to learn. It's kind of on a rotation where you're not doing it every Sunday, but we just need someone to run the camera. And I know we only have one right now, and one day we'll get big enough where we have three cameras and we have a control room where we go to different cameras and things like that. But right now we have one, and thank God for it, because people get saved when they watch this program. So if you're interested in that, would you see Heidi as well? And praise God, it'd be a blessing, because that's a need in our church. Amen. All right. Any other announcements? Vote. It's always important to vote. Most people don't know that right now there's 10 propositions that are going on in Texas. One of them was started right here in this church that will cause, in the state of Texas, a government never to be able to shut down a church ever again. So the meeting started with some representatives right here at this church, and then most of y'all know Mike that works right beside our governor. Took it and even just different things about rodeos, you know, and there's one proclamation. I know it talks about having a raffle at a rodeo, but really what it is just declaring that rodeo is a major sport in Texas, like basketball and football, etc. And so I think that's really important. And then all the other 10 you need to study about, but I got counsel that said we need to vote for all of them, a yes. And they were good. And so, but go check it out yourself. That voting going on right now. And so be a part of that. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a great day. You don't stay here. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You get to go with us right now. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done by giving us this message of being barrier breakers, knocking the walls down that are stopping us from entering into the promised land, the blessing. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for that. As we leave and we go out in the world, we don't live of it. We just live in it. And we have power and victory in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.